Well, this morning we have a special treat. Here in Heritage Eagle Bend, we have a group of men, just eight of us, who get together once a month and have been doing this for about 6 or 7 years. Half of us are here today. It's a special group. We have special relationships with each other, and very often we're able to cry and shed tears and open our hearts to each other in these meetings that usually last about 2 hours. But this morning, we have a special guest, the Honorable Thomas DiMarino, or Tom, just plain Tom. And I'd like to read a little bit about him before he tells his story, which is an amazing story, just amazing story. Law practice has been the matrix of my life. At 8:15, I watched Perry Mason on TV and wanted to be in the courtroom when I grew up. I have practiced law in courtrooms for 33 years as insurance defense counsel in negligence and workers' compensation cases. Margaret Bates Ellison, a winner of the CBA, Colorado Bar Association Merit Award of Merit, hired me in 1965 and tutored me in trial law. He was just a youngster then, because he's only 6 months older than I am. From 1999 until May of 2013, I have been the chief pre-hearing administrative law judge in the Division of Workman's Compensation. Now, that's a mouthful. It's got to be a very important position. I will continue judging there because I love being a public servant. My families are my collective treasure. For various reasons, I've had 3 marriages and families that include 8 children and 17 grandchildren. God has blessed me with the whole montage. The events of my life that I cherish are playing football and lacrosse at Dickinson College, playing for the Denver Lacrosse Club. In fact, Dickinson College played my college, Wagner College, back in the late 50s, and I didn't know Tom then. I didn't play football for them. I played baseball. But for the Denver Lacrosse Club, playing for the Denver Barbarians rugby team. Boy, I could just see you doing that, Tom. Including the original team of 1967. Now listen to this. Skiing the diamond runs on all the ski areas along I-70 and in Aspen. Climbing 14ers mountains in the summertime and on skis in the wintertime. He told me he used to climb up to the top of a 14er at night and ski down. He's not crazy. Well, maybe. He also did technical climbs in Boulder and in the high peaks in Peru. And we were there last year. Those high peaks are amazingly high. He said, I accomplished 2 long-term aspirations. Number 1, serving in the Army as an airborne ranger rifle company commander in Korea and serving as the president of the Denver Bar Association. And I present to you the Honorable Thomas DiMarino.
Thank you so much for the introduction, Bruce and Pastor Miner. And I'm honored today to be a part of the program. I'm deeply honored, and I cherish my friendships with all of you. The date to remember, which I shall always remember, is December 1, 1979, at 9 o'clock a.m. The travel to that date was rocky and filled with distinctions, mixed with despair and just some terrible things, and some highlights too. What happened is that the law firm I had joined as an associate and became a partner of, which became Ellison DiMarino & Knapp, decided in 1976 to fracture. And Bill Knapp and I formed our law firm in August of 1976. And I should have known, and I did know, a secret that nobody in the family knew and Bill Knapp didn't know, and that was I was alcoholic. I didn't have a medical diagnosis of it, but I knew it. And the points of alarm were drinking in the morning before I went to work, drinking secretly in the middle of the morning, middle of the afternoon, at lunch, and secretly at night. And I say secretly because I secreted myself from everyone when I did that. Nobody saw me do it. I was very careful. Nobody saw me do it. And I did it totally alone. I didn't, and the oddity is that in social situations, I made sure not to drink at all. And my then wife thought that I was becoming a model citizen. She didn't know what was happening. I did. I didn't announce that to anybody, and so we started the law firm in August of 1976, and in October of 1976, I invited my partner to have a private conversation with me in my home. Betsy wasn't there, and I felt comfortable, again, in secrecy. I said to Bill, I'm an alcoholic, and he said, how do you know that? And I described to him what I just described to you, and he said, that sounds like alcoholism to me. And I said, it is. And he said, what are you going to do about it? And I said, I don't know. I'm going to try and fix it. And he said, well, we've just started with a bunch of really, really good clients, and we specialized in architecture and engineering malpractice cases, negligence cases, workers' compensation cases. We were all of those were insurance defense cases, and we had a package of good clients. And he said, the clients can't know this. I said, I know that. So I had heard about Mercy Hospital, and they had an alcohol program, and I enrolled in that. And I did that in December of 1976. And that lasted 1 month. I was hospitalized 1 month. Between 1976 and from August of 1976 through December of 1978, for 28 months, I was in the depths and despair of alcoholism. In that period of time, I went through 2-month-long treatments at Mercy Hospital. I went through 2-month-long treatments at Raleigh Hills Alcohol Rehabilitation Hospital. I went through a month's hospitalization at Porter Hospital. And I went through a month at Boulder Psychiatric Institute. None of it worked. None of it worked. And I knew all about a thing called anabuse. And if you don't know what that is, it's a chemical that you take, and you better be darn certain that you're going to be abstinent from alcohol, because if you mix the two, it can be the combination can be fatal. And I knew people in every one of the hospitalizations of people who had died from mixing after they left mixing alcohol with anabuse. So you can't do that. And if you don't die, you're going to have a serious medical problem. So none of that worked, and my wife was in despair. She was my high school sweetheart we only dated each other for 4 years, from 1955 to 1959. We married in 1959, and we had two children, and she said, I can't take this anymore, and I don't know where we're going, and we're losing everything. And I said, I know, and I don't know what to do either. So she evicted me in August of 1977, and Bill Knapp in September of 1977 said, Tom, I've got to go a different direction, and we'll have to dissolve the firm. So we dissolved the firm, and he went and he became a very, very prominent insurance defense attorney, specializing in architects' malpractice, and he just retired last year. We've maintained a friendship through those years. I tried to start a law firm in September of 1977, and it failed because I couldn't show up. I was drunk. And I didn't know what to do. So when I went through a Raleigh Hills alcohol hospital in December of 1977, I came out allegedly sober. And a good friend in a storied historic law firm in Denver that's still in existence, and it's an insurance defense law firm, very prominent, great clients, said, we'll take a chance on you. We'll bring you in as a partner. I said, thanks. They didn't know what they were getting, and I didn't know either, because I knew that I was still alcoholic. And it lasted until September, and then they asked me to leave. So in the meantime, after Betsy had left me and I didn't have anyone, I met a woman named Joyce, and I asked her if she would marry me and all of that, and she said, you know, I love you, and I cannot marry you. She said, I've got two young boys about the same ages as your children, and I'm divorced, and I have to raise them. And I can't raise you along with them. I can't do that. I don't. And I said, well, then what am I supposed to do? And she said, I don't know. And I said, well, I don't know either. And she said, well, I can't marry you this way, and maybe some way I could, but I can't marry you this way. And I said, well, I don't know what to do. So I drank. And on December 31, 1978, I drank too much, and I was stuporous. And on January 1, the next morning at 9 o'clock a.m., and I was stuporous, and I said, Christ, I understand that you can come into a person's life and take over and make things different, and I'm inviting you to come into my life and make things different for me, and I'll tell you what, I'm not going to hedge my bets. I'll give myself to you every single morning. I'll turn over the reins to you every single morning. And wherever you take me, you take me. And I'm just thankful for that. So please take me. And I felt something I never felt before, and I haven't felt it since. There was a warm, almost hot feeling inside me. I felt it. It lasted about 10 seconds. And I don't know. I never felt anything like that in my life before, and I haven't felt anything like that since. But something happened. And I said to Joyce, I won't ever drink again. And she said, how do you know that? And I said, I won't drink again. And she said, I'll just have to wait and see, Tom, because I can't trust you. And I said, well, I won't drink again. So I already knew the martinet drill on an abuse, and it's got to be a 72-hour clean out from all alcohol. And at the end of 72 hours, you can take an abuse. And I waited 72 hours, and I took my first an abuse. And I resolved that I would take an abuse for one generation, which is 21 years. And I took an abuse every day for 21 years and stopped on January 1, 2000. Doctors tried to tell me along the way, stop taking an abuse, it can have an adverse effect on the liver, and they gave me their mantra, and I said, you know, talk to your blue in the face, but I'm taking my an abuse until January 1, 2000, and I did. And I never drank again after January 1, 1979 at 9 o'clock a.m. And along the way, every single morning, I have, and I say literally because I this is what I say to Christ in the morning. Christ, thank you for being alive, and this morning I turn the reins over to you and take me where you will today. I have no idea where he's going to take me. I had no idea then where he was going to take me. But it didn't make any difference because I was going to be with Christ. Three remarkable things every day have happened since then. I'm warm, dry, and fed at the end of every day. And so then I did something in February of 1979 I'd never done. The Colorado Lawyer is a monthly publication. We all read the advance sheet opinions in it, and I've read it from cover to cover every month since I was admitted in 1965. But I never, ever looked at the ads. And there are all kinds of ads in there for lawyers who want jobs, and law firms who want lawyers. I never looked at that stuff. And February 1979, I did look. I didn't have anything. And it said Travelers Insurance Company is searching for a manager of litigation for the state of Colorado for all of its litigation. And it gave you information on where to apply. And I said, I'm going to apply for that. So, on February 18, I applied, and I was and gave them my resume and all that stuff. Then I was asked to interview on March 18 in Hartford at their home office, and there was a vice president, and there was the manager of the Travelers Law Firm. The Travelers Law Firm had 52 offices and 500 lawyers, and the office in Colorado was going to be opened, and they wanted someone to create it, manage it, manage all the litigation in Colorado, and be responsible. And so at the end of the interview, they offered that position to me. On the way out, after the interview was over, the vice president at the doorway of the office said to me, is there anything about you we don't know that we really should know? And I said, yes. And he said, what's that? I said, I'm an alcoholic. And it knocked him back a little, and and he didn't say anything, but the manager of the national law firm said, "Do you have that under control?" And I said, "No, I don't." I said, "Christ does." And he just shook his head. They offered me the job, and I went home, and Joy said, "How did it go?" And I said, "Will you marry me now? I've started things. I'm starting." And she said, "Sure, I will now." So since I applied on February 18 and I had the interview on March 18, she said, "Why don't we get married on April 18? And we did. And that was the beginning of everything that was good. And in between, the law firm thrived and prospered and became a good law firm with good lawyers, and some went on to become judges, and it still is a good law firm. I left the firm and became a judge because I always wanted to be a judge after watching Perry Mason when I was 15. I never wanted to leave the courtroom. I wanted to be there somewhere. So I became a judge in 1999, and the same year I became the chief judge and was chief judge for 13 years. But the important thing is that Christ has been with me every day. Joyce didn't last. She had breast cancer from 1980 to 1985, and the oncologist said it's cured. You give it 5 years, and you're totally cured then. And she gave it 10 years, and then it came back and with a vengeance, and it killed her in 1995. And I mourned and grieved for a year following her death, and then I met Wendy and dated her, and we married on August 22, 1999, and then she got pancreas cancer and died last Thanksgiving, November 27, 2014, and so, but Christ has been with me and shored me up and sustained me. And the great thing about Christ is that Christ is with me because I invited him in. And I've never uninvited him since December 1, 1979. I invite him in every morning, and the beauty is that he takes me wherever he wants. I'm never really sure where it's going to be in any given day, but I'm happy with the Lord, and I'm warm, dry, and fed. So thank you.